Bree.
It's coming up to 14 minutes past five here on Irirangi Wātea. Thanks very much for joining us. And now we're going down country. We're talking with our marekura, front and centre of a protection of a pepe on a marae, and she has been supported by our rangatira, Rāwereb, Karatini as well too. Waratini, Kātini, he joins our marekura, Jean Te Huia. Both of them are on the line. Me tuku mihi ki a kōrua, Rāwere and Jean. Thanks so very much for the pair of you for joining us this afternoon.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Ngā mihi a te kia koe, me tō ngā whānau wotumoti.
So, Jean, we've got another whānau that is being protected. You're protecting the pepe and the whānau on a marae. Talk us through the journey.
So, I received an urgent text message at 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning last week and responded, and I rang back and I heard these screamings and I thought someone had died. And I could hear these women wailing, and I thought, wait on, what's happening? They said, our baby. I thought, what, your baby? They said, our baby's being taken. This woman's got an uplift without notice order, and she's going to take our baby. It went through court yesterday. So what we did was we put another application into the court Friday. In the meantime, we eluded the police for 4 days while we tried to get our order into the court, and it failed. The judge would not overturn it, and so we went to the marae. We said, you know, our last bastion of hope, we need to go back to the bosom of our mātauranga. We need to go back to our Māori, our marae. So we went to Te Rai, our marae at Pakipaki, where our whānau come from. We rang our whānau, and we were surrounded by kuia and kaumātua within hours. And we had 5-generation bloodline to that baby in the meeting house. And we waited for the police to come and take the baby. It was supposed to come at 1 o'clock on the Saturday. And we thought, well, they're going to have to come through us first. They're going to come through the kids. We're going to put the kids on the front line. Then the mothers, the second line. Then our kuia kaumātua, the third line. And our men were going to stay in the meeting house with the baby. And it never happened. Thank God. We rang Nahiwi Tumona. Nahiwi rang the police commissioner and talked to him and said, that whānau sitting in the marae, that baby is safe. We don't understand why the stranger person has put in this application. And Nahiwi's report response back to us at 6 o'clock that night was it was getting dark. Once the commissioner has agreed, the police will not storm the marae. And so that's how it came to be. And so from then till now, we've got a stay of execution, and the whānau will have an opportunity on Thursday at the family court in Hastings to be heard and to fight this insidious process where a total stranger, someone that the whānau know but has only met the baby in the last 28 days, has been able to go in and put a application in without notice and take a baby off of whānau. And so that's the situation we have.
And Rāwere, you fully understand what's happening here. You've been front and centre as well too, along with Jean and other claimants of the inquiry into OT. This is where we're up to in terms of protecting our pepe back to the marae. That's where we're going now. We're going back to our ukaipō.
Oh, yeah, exactly. One thing that Jean and the other claimants have been fighting is this ex parte section 78. Now, to apply it today, you have to have the support of 2 social workers to sign this off. Now, the issue is that no social workers were part of the signing off of this process due to this baby not being even a part of Oranga Tamariki.
Yes.
And so what's happened is because this baby was not part of the Oranga Tamariki process, it didn't need the sign-off. And so that's a real huge issue. So we've met yesterday to strategize a bit of kōrero and also utilize some of the sort of other legislation that's been available. For me, this is a breach of the Bill of Rights Act, and especially because it was without notice in front of a judge. You know, this is something that we've been fighting for the last couple of years.
Mm.
You know, but what the Bill of Rights says is that you have the right to a fair and a public hearing. You have to be the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. You have the right to defend yourself against any such charges, and you have the right to challenge those who've made allegations. But in a Section 78, none of this is applicable, but it's never had the Bill of Rights challenge.
Thank you for that explanation, Rawiri. And Jean, what an extraordinary show of strength from Iwi Hapu Whānau, everybody going in to protect. What an extraordinary situation. It is probably not going to be the last time either we see this, perhaps.
Absolutely. And what is the most appalling situation that we have right here now is we have a member of this whānau, an extended member of this whānau, who knows the system. This person was able to go on their own merit into a courthouse and make an application and make various claims against the whānau and the mother, and for a judge to approve her claims and to give her their baby. And you know what appalls me is the facts are never checked out. Nobody checked the facts. Is this true? Because the whānau all said this isn't true what this woman is saying, and there was no right of appeal. And what the application has given to the whānau was that they could have their day in court on the 6th of September when the application would go back to the family court, when both whānaus could then visit this. And in the meantime, it was expected that the whānau would hand their baby over to the stranger. Now, the baby does not know this woman. It's been in her company a couple of times, and she's only just met the baby May of this year. And so, you know, what are whānau doing to whānau? I've been inundated with phone calls from whānau who say their in-laws are doing this to them, or their parents are doing this to them, or, you know, children have become a commodity. And the commodification of our tamariki is enabling them to be placed in these situations where they're not safe. And you would expect that the family court would be see through this and ensure that each and every claim that parents weren't or aren't capable of being good parents should be checked before they take a baby and give it to somebody else. And that's not happening. And also, we would expect that there would be cultural impact reports so that whānau who are Māori would have their rights as tangata whenua Māori be investigated. And this appalling scenario that's happening right now, today, with this whānau could happen to any one of us. You don't have to be Māori. You could be Pākehā. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be unintelligent, because one of the grandmothers of this baby is the principal of one of our local schools, and she can't believe it's happening to her and her mokopuna. And so, you know, none of us are beyond the reach of this insidious law, the Section 78, which allows anybody to make a claim against you and take your baby.
Without notice.
Without notice, without notification. And so this needs to change.
A couple of things, Rawiri, then. You mentioned social workers, and both you and Paula particularly have been talking about the lack of training, appropriate tikanga training for our social workers. And so when it comes to issues like this, they're working within the system, a construct, a Pākehā construct that waivers that completely disintegrates tikanga. So we're acting in a institution that does not allow Māori social workers to perform on a Māori level. There's that. But also to the system, it appears, allows whānau to rip each other apart, a little bit like treaty settlement process, you know, that large natural grouping where it pits hapū against hapū and iwi against iwi. We're seeing this on a micro level in OT, aren't we, where a Pākehā law can allow whānau now to tear strips out of each other.
Absolutely.
But what's happened in this specific case, you know, this person is not a social worker, but what the experience that she's gained is that she's uplifted five previous babies from Oranga Tamariki Care. And so she is actually very experienced in the process.
That's incredible. And so, he Māori, he wahine Māori.
And this baby was not in the system. So this baby was not an Oranga Tamariki baby. No notification of concern had ever been made about this baby. And so when the application went to the judge, I would have expected the judge to have followed due process and said, well, where are the social worker recommendations and reports? And the answer would have been, well, there aren't any. And the question asked should have been, well, why not? And the answer would have been because the baby's not in the system. It's never had a notification of concern. And, you know, that would have sent alarm bells to any sensible person to say, well, who are you and why are you this individual making an application for without notice to take this baby off this whānau?
Yes.
And that, but none of that happened. No process was in place to ensure that the vindictive accusations of one person against a whole whānau were credible. Nobody checked to see, is this true? Is this baby really in danger? You know, does this baby need this person to be looking after it? And the answer clearly is no, this is not the case. And we have whānau here capable and willing and able who have cared for this baby for 9 months. And this baby has never needed a care and protection order because the whānau have done the job of being the whānau to this baby.
Yeah, it goes back to my point around the system allowing, you know, whānau to pit each other against the whānau. It's, you know, in internalised racial structures that allows us to fight amongst ourselves like a divide and rule almost.
Yes.
And so the marae, Pepe still on the marae?
Yes, absolutely. That baby is still on the marae, surrounded by five generation of its whakapapa, its great-great-grandmother, its great-grandmother, its two grandmothers, its mother and this baby, and its parents. And, you know, five generations of them all sitting there saying, how could this happen to us? You know, what we have to understand, this can happen to anybody. This can happen to any of us, any listener listening tonight. This could happen to your mokopuna. And these laws that allow this to happen are the reason and the cause for such stress. And, you know, I keep thinking about the Waitangi Tribunal ruling, and they said between 12 to 19% of children in care today are being abused on a daily basis. And so what is the system about? This system is not about care and protection of children. This system is about the commodification of the misery, of our misery as Māori, the dysfunctionality of social policy that puts our whānau into unhealthy and unsafe housing, or homelessness, poverty, unemployment, uneducation, and as a result, we have this types of law that go further in punishing us.
Yeah, and one thing that really stands out, and in fact, Jean's been saying it right from the very beginning, this system isn't broken. It was never broken. It's always, it's designed to do what it's doing.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Thank you so very much, both of you, for joining me this afternoon. Wonderful to kōrero. Thank you very much for all your manaaki of our pepe, our next generation. Keep it up. Yeah. The more pepe that we save, from the system, the better and stronger we will be. And if it means returning our pepe to the marae, then so be it.
Yes. I believe that it would have been a public embarrassment for the police to rock up and try and take a nine-month-old out of the arms of its whānau in the marae. To all those out there that are facing the battle, you know, get together, ring your whānau, get your kaumātua queer behind you, go back to the marae where you can be guaranteed your safety, and rally together your whānau, because that's the only way we were able to stop what happened to this pepe. Mm.